Hey everybody, it's Joanna, and here we are for our marketing message workshop part two. So my intention for our call today is to help you distill what you've been working on during this last week and to go deeper with it. And then from there, for us to take a look at how to use your marketing message in different applications and to start testing it. So I want to hear a lot from you today, especially the first part of our call. Really help you workshop here, you know, how far you've gotten with the homework, and, you know, help you get further with it to help you really get to that crux that I was talking about. If you happen to be tuning in today, but you weren't here last week or you didn't do the homework yet, no worries. Just start here now where you are. It will help. And if you're, I want to say this, if you're a little bit freaking out, because you're like, oh my gosh, I don't get this. I don't know what the medicine is. I don't know what the crux of, you know, if it feels confusing, that's also okay and totally normal. Like I said last week, this is a process. It's a process, right? So it's okay. It takes time. You know, we've given it a week, but it oftentimes needs more than a week. It changes over time, like I was sharing with you last week. And it requires testing, even once you have it. You know, and we'll talk about that a little later. You know, it requires testing. And, you know, getting to, even if you're awesome at helping others with their message, sometimes getting it for yourself is just, it's hard for everyone, you know, really, to get it for themselves. So just have patience with yourself through this process. And the other thing I want to just remind you again is, you know, your marketing message is not just one sentence or phrase. Of course, we like to have things tied up in a pretty little knot. Here's my sentence, you know, for my message. But again, like I was sharing last week, the power of it is really in layering. It's how you're using it across the board and in different places. Again, we'll get more to that later today. But that being said, for your own purposes, I do find that it can be really helpful to first find a word or a single idea or theme that's a focal point. I do find that can be really helpful for clarity, so that, you know, once you have this single idea or this word or this theme that's kind of like the crux, that medicine that we were talking about that's, you know, unique to your business, then it's like you start using it a lot and it becomes easily recognizable by others, you know, by your community. This is what you're about. And it will also help you just really stake your claim in it, like put a stake in the ground and say, you know, this is what I stand for. This is the core of the core of the core of what my work is about. So in a minute, I want to open up for workshopping and hearing what came up and came through the homework questions over the last week. But before I do that, I want to just review. I think it'd be helpful for us to look at this together. Hopefully you all read through in the homework that I gave you. I kind of laid out, I felt like you needed some more examples. And so I just kind of like created some more examples for you. And I want to just quickly, briefly go through this before we open up. So again, the core of your marketing message is the one thing that your ideal clients really need to hear most about why to work with you. It's one thing that's very specific to your ideal client. It's a medicine that your ideal client needs, specific to your ideal client. And what I mean by that is like another kind of client who's not your ideal client wouldn't necessarily need that medicine, right? But it's also broad enough fit all of your different ideas and teachings under. So, you know, some of the examples that I gave, you know, for example, this is one example of a core marketing message. If you've had ongoing chronic pain, unlocking your body story is the most important key to reduced pain, improved health, and well-being, right? So in that statement, the entrepreneur's brilliance, their one thing, is unlocking their body story. For this particular person's ideal client, someone who is undergoing chronic pain, has ongoing chronic pain, probably their ideal client is someone who is self-aware, who likes to go deep, who wants body awareness. Unlocking their body story is the crux, right? Now, again, it's broad enough that so many things can go under that, right? So, for example, unlocking your body story can include limiting beliefs about their body. It can include learning how to love their body more. It can include making peace with others or with themselves. Unlocking their body story can include finding foods that are right for their body, right? All of that can fit under this crux, but the crux is the unlocking your body story. Here's another example. Overworked and sensitive moms must learn to cultivate deep self-love in order to be healthy, happy, and to be better parents, right? So in this case, cultivating deep self-love is the medicine that's going to help the ideal client and only the ideal client reach their goals. I'll give you one more. Possessing ninja manifestation skills is non-negotiable if you're spiritual and looking to create massive abundance in your life. So for this marketing message, the ideal client is someone who is spiritual and looking to create massive abundance. And the medicine is possessing ninja manifestation skills. If you have those manifestation, and so much can fall under manifestation skills, right? Whatever it is for you, it can be about beliefs, it can be about actions, it can be about understanding fear, you know, whatever it is, it can be about tools for manifestation, right? It can all fall under there. So, all of that being said, I want you to take a moment and review your homework and just take a moment first and just read through your homework. Let's start there. Just review it for a moment. Read through your answers. And if you may have already answered this question, it was in the homework. If you didn't, I want you to take a moment and answer it now. And if you did, I want you to just make sure that it's still whatever you answered feels right for you. What is the one thing, right? What is the word or the concept or the idea that is tying everything that you wrote together that's really the medicine that you uniquely provide your ideal client? What's the theme here? And I know that it's hard to pick just one. If you need to pick two, you know, fine, we'll find a way to connect them. Try to pick just, I know it's hard, try to pick one. But again, this one thing can encompass a lot of topics that you teach on or you coach on or you practice on. So what is that word or concept or idea that's the medicine? What is the theme that you see here that's the medicine? And so I'd love to hear from some of you what you're seeing through the work, you know, through the homework over last week to today. What's the theme that you've come up with? Or if you feel like you're in process, where are you at? Let's take a look at it. Star two. Jamie. Wait, hold on, I didn't get you there. Jamie.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So my word is empowerment, and I do feel like that is a little broad, but that is the thing that I keep coming back to, and it's personal empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And from doing this work, it's also been making me aware that my messaging has not been specific about this.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's bringing that awareness. Because I know a little bit about your work and your business. I like empowerment, but I actually feel like that's almost too broad for you. Let's just take a look at this together. It will be helpful for you, but it would really be helpful for everybody, too, just to kind of tune in here. So, Jamie, I know that you and your work, so much about what you do is about being a priestess, and everything you do is really about priestess work, right? Even when you're helping business owners. Mm-hmm. And it's about magic and circle work and ritual. Tell me if I'm getting that right, but I just feel like that's part and parcel. Whether you're teaching something technical or you're doing inner work, that's always the essence of being a priestess. And tell me if there's better words for it. It's almost like the empowerment from doing the priestess work or from doing, opening yourself up to magic. I may not be hitting the mark exactly, but am I getting somewhere here?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, if we were to add a word to empowerment, that would actually help you stand out just a little bit more and really hit the nail on the head of your unique medicine, what would it be?
While I'm figuring that out, I'll just say the other word that is important to me also is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's the end goal anyway, what I'm trying to create in my own life, and also what I try to create for people with all of this work is.
So that doesn't feel like the medicine. That feels like part of the result.
Okay.
I mean, it might end up being a piece of the medicine too, but does that feel accurate?
Right.
To me,
yes.
You're saying that's more of the end result. That's not the medicine.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to actually just let you sit with that. Is that enough to help you go further? I want you to bring in some more, because it's not just yes, your work is empowerment, but it's a specific kind of empowerment that has to do with the priestess thing.
Okay.
The circles, maybe it's about the moon. Noodle on that one a bit more.
Okay.
Does that feel a good direction to go in?
Yeah, super helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Great. Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna, can you hear me?
Hey. Mm-hmm.
All right, great. So, I help thought leaders figure out how to monetize or build a business around their thought leadership, or I take business owners who are already monetizing and establish them as thought leaders. So it's taking one from the other or the other to one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the long version. And I feel like my theme is helping people create your next big thing, but that feels a little general. And so,
yeah, I don't think, I actually think that's part of the result. I don't think it's the medicine. I'm not totally keyed in to your current business, but I have to say, let's work through this a little bit. From what you just shared, what I'm hearing so far is that actually the medicine is about leveraging isn't the right word exactly, but leveraging your thought leadership feels to me more of the medicine, because either the leveraging of the thought leadership is what's going to help monetize more, And so much can fall underneath that, right? Because, or, well, let me give you the both examples that you gave, and then I'll say what can fall underneath that. Leveraging the thought leadership can lead to monetizing more, but even if they're already established as a thought leader, my sense is that they want even more visibility as a thought leader. They want even more of it, right? And then under thought leadership, again, I'm kind of guessing into everything, you know, that you're helping with. I'm not up to date, but it can be like the strategies for visibility. It can be the sales strategies. It can be the, like, what is your thought leadership? You know, let's clarify it here. It can be the energetics of it. Are you confident enough in your thought leadership? Let's leverage the confidence and have you be more embodied in it. Am I hitting on some stuff here?
Yeah, and a lot of it is around business model too. Like, that's really my lead is and that's what the monetization piece is. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It is about marketing, thought leadership, marketing strategy, sales strategy, business model. So,
let's take this just a step further for you and for everyone. So just in a nutshell, describe your ideal client. Like, who is really your ideal client, and what does this person really want?
Yeah, my ideal client is someone who feels really good about what they've already established in their business. Mm-hmm. And so they might already be a thought leader and, like, well, I won't repeat myself from that standpoint, but they feel good about one part of things, and things were probably humming along. And then what happens is they hit a point and they feel like they need to maybe full on reinvent or maybe just pivot. It's like, okay, I've kind of hit this place where I need to grow into my next challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they maybe gotten comfortable in their thought leadership, but they're uncomfortable with the money, you know, the monetization part, or they're comfortable with their monetization, but they're uncomfortable with, you know, they're bored.
Yeah.
You know, they're someone who wants to keep growing.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm going to take a stab at this.
Okay.
You have something to play with as the core, like the core of the core message. If you are a seasoned entrepreneur with unique and cutting edge ideas, but your business has gotten stale or stuck, what's absolutely vital for you is to mine and leverage your thought leadership on all levels and strategies.
Okay, I like
that. Does that feel like a core piece there?
Yeah, I can definitely play with that.
Awesome, good. And we'll get more, you know, into this call, different ways to play, but yeah, you know, work with
that, great.
On it. Awesome.
Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome. Heather.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So it's really hard for me to distill into a few words any of this. So I'm not even sure where to begin, but I know that I need help focusing in on this.
Yeah, so tell me some of the important key points, and let's see if we can see a thread or a theme in there.
Well, some of the things I've written down, you know, an answer to this particular question, the one thing I'd really want that person to know, and that's hard for me. I've been there. I healed myself. I traveled far and wide around the world and within myself to heal myself on all dimensions, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, through ritual, meditative, yoga. It's about directing energy, self-love, self-acceptance, and self-mastery is a huge one. And working with women in transition, that's what I feel has happened for me, and I want to spread that, like share that knowledge that I've gained through going through this process. I had chronic pain. I've had health issues. I didn't think I wanted to work with those people, but That's who's coming to me.
Well, okay, don't work with who's coming to you. Work with who you want to work with.
Right.
So I just want you
but
to
I think
get
that
there.
Might be a big part of it. You know, maybe I'm not accepting that part of my journey.
Yeah, that could be. So that's a question that I want you to marinate on, you know, like who that ideal mm-hmm. client really is. But I think we can still go further with this cool. right now. So self-mastery you paused on and you said it was really important.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit more, like what does self-mastery mean to you? Describe that just a little bit.
For me, it was, I don't like using the word control, but it really was about taking control of my life and knowing that I had choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, you are actually creating. I have created my life. I make the choices that create my life.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, again, I'm just going to kind of lean in here and play a little bit with everything mm-hmm. that you've been sharing. But what I'm potentially hearing is if you are a woman in transition who has experienced either chronic pain or, this isn't the exact right words, really big experiences and obstacles in your life, really being able to, I just lost some of the words you said. Oh, sorry, Heather, hold on a second. So if you're that person, what I just described, mm-hmm. self-mastery, the ability to, again, we won't use in control, but to be in control of your choices and your reactions is vital to your healing process. So that might not be it exactly, but tell me how that's landing mm-hmm. for you. This idea of self-mastery, the way that you described mm-hmm. it, really being like the core here, and your teachings and, you know, like things you coach on falling underneath that.
Yeah, I mean, this resonates. The healing process part of it, like I said, it's something that just came up in conversation with someone that I was talking to about this program last week and just about this whole transition process. And this is a person who, like, their transition was gender transition. So that's, like, something I don't have experience with, but I'm noticing the threads.
Yeah.
And just in talking with her, I was like, wow, you know, the healing is a very important part of this. So I guess I'm not...
Yeah. So my question
is how to accept it.
Right. Well, so it sounds to me, again, like if I take everything that you're sharing, for example, someone who's going through gender transition, you know, if they were to come to you for your particular medicine, what the medicine would be the self-mastery, this being able mm-hmm. to, again, we'll find a different word for control because you don't like it, but to take control mm-hmm. of your choices and your responses mm-hmm. to yourself and to others and your situations, and to have more of that, like, self-awareness, that personal mastery. Does it feel like we're getting close to the core here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So keep on going in that direction.
You
know, marinate a bit more. I think it's, you know, there's some tweaking, but hopefully starting to fall into place. So
awesome.
You're welcome. So here's a piece that's important. This core of the core, this one thing, this medicine, it needs to be the thing that you're willing, that more than willing, you're like all out taking a stand for, right? So, you know, to use Heather as an example, it's like she, if she lands on this personal mastery, it's like that is the thing that she is taking a stand for no matter what. And that's what people are going to think of when they think of her business is personal mastery. Or with Carolyn, right? Like if you're going to land Carolyn on this leveraging thought leadership, is like, is that the thing that you are so like so willing to take a stand for, you know, and all the different meanings of it, right? Because again, it can be broad to encompass a lot of things. Is that the thing you want to be known for, and is that the thing that you're going to be willing to take a stand for, no matter what? For Jamie, right? Whatever goes with that empowerment, like, you know, moon empowerment or priestess empowerment, whatever it is, like, is that the thing that you want to be known for, that you're taking a stand for, right? For me, it's depth and mastery. That is what I want to be known for, and that's what I want to take a stand for, no matter what. Not to put too much pressure on anyone. And again, right, like it's a process. You lean into it, test it, right, all of that. Let me take some more questions and shares. Tanya.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey.
So the words that kept coming up for me, like even when we were in the call last week, were self-knowledge and self-expression.
Yeah, that feels really right on for you.
So cool.
Yeah. Is that something that you are willing to go to bat for? You're willing to take a stand for your client's self-knowledge and self-expression no matter what?
Yeah, I feel like all the other things I talk about are like basically sub-messages of that.
Exactly. Like, yes, that's how it should be. Exactly.
Like, because it's like there's all these facets, like their spirituality, being in their bodies, their shadow, their creative expression, but it's all underneath self-knowledge and self-expression.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't really know that what you want to go for is really legit unless you really know yourself and where that's coming from or all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, good. So let's take that a step further, like we did with Carolyn, because this is a little bit where we're going next. So.
Okay.
You want to take your core thing and then add your ideal client to it and the results that your ideal client wants. So let's just see if we can add that to self-knowledge and self-expression. So if you are, let's just get the highlights of your ideal client.
Right. So some of them were, I kind of summarized it into like a highly sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's too much of a buzzword, but like it's like they're thorough, congruent, conscientious, deep, committed, highly sensitive, like driven.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And what is a result that they want? Like the biggest result that they want?
The biggest result is they want to lead their best life. Like.
Ah. Okay. So for you, the core message might be if you are a deep, driven, highly sensitive individual who wants to live your best life, self-knowledge and self-expression are non-negotiable.
I love it. Yes. Thank you, Joanna. Yeah,
you're welcome. Take some more. Tell.
Hi. So I am clarifying, and I will just like fully disclose that you helped me a bit on this earlier. So just a little bit more clarity and putting some adding some pieces together. And where I'm at now is so if you're a soul-centered practitioner who desires to support others in their healing as you continue your own healing journey, then it's vital to honor your sensitivity. Free yourself from outdated, unresolved history and deepen your connection to your body and the earth.
I love it. And I'm wondering those three last pieces that you're saying are vital. Is there like an umbrella that all three can go under or like a thread that's running through all three of them? Let's hear them again.
honor.
Because I got a little lost in the words, right? We wanted to like be simple for ourselves to begin with, right? Like, this is the thing we're taking a stand for. So let's hear the three things again.
Right, it's honoring sensitivity, freeing yourself from outdated, unresolved history, and deepening your connection to your body and the earth.
So I know when we spoke earlier, we were saying like connection to all, you know, on all levels was the one thing. It feels like you've evolved from there. So what's the thread or like what's the theme that, you know, if we could put this under one umbrella, these three things, what would it be?
Well, it feels, I think it's a challenging question, but it feels like we have to let go of the past in order to become fully present. And filling in some of those missed connection pieces with like something greater, right? With earth, with spirit.
Taking it in. So connection is still one of the things that I'm coming to, but I don't know if it's because I was already settled on that.
Yeah. It's like we have to get away from the things that are getting in the way of the connection, right? So it's like we have to free ourselves.
That can go under the umbrella of activating full connection in your life, right? That can be one of the steps. We're getting there on this call. Like, what are all the things that fall underneath that umbrella? Mm-hmm. But I'd say, like, clearing away the things that create missed connections fall under that bigger umbrella. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. So then that liberation piece or the freedom piece could just not have to be outwardly spoken. It just falls under deepening the connection.
Yes.
Okay.
And it would be, it will be spoken in the layering of things. So, but the key is I just want to make sure that you really love this idea of activating, you know, powerfully activating all connections, like that's the medicine. If you're so on it, we need to find some other words for it. If you love it and you're like, this is the thing that I really want to be talking about with all the different things that fall under it too, then we're good. If not, I think we're really close, but it just needs a little massaging.
Yeah, I think it's the deepening connection that actually feels really good. Connection to body, connection to earth.
Yeah, good. Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Wonderful. You're welcome. All right. Brooke.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I am having a little bit of confusion around the difference between, I think, my methodology and my medicine. At least are in the articulation of that. So the key words that I think I keep coming back to are renewal and vitality.
Yeah. I think vitality is a result. Renewal is the pathway.
Okay.
Does that feel... like your different teachings can fall under that, and do you feel excited about that theme?
I do.
Awesome. So let's practice adding ideal client and result into this. So just briefly describe ideal client.
My ideal client is a woman who's working in an academic profession, a scholar, a professor, that kind of context, who is experiencing overwhelm, depletion, anxiety, feeling uncalibrated and overwhelmed, potentially even burned out.
And what does she want?
And she wants clarity, confidence, vitality, and renewal.
Yeah. Okay, good. So again, just playing with this. But tell me how this lands. whip smart, ambitious female academics absolutely must learn the inner and outer art of renewal in order to avoid burnout and create vitality and increase success.
Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. We've got two more hands up. I'm going to take both of them, and then we'll keep on deepening this. Who is this? From California, 2809.
Hi, Joanna. It's Connie.
Hi.
And hi. I was so resistant to being on this call and even raising my hand because I was so shameful of being confused.
It's okay.
In the confusion fog.
It's okay.
But I'm really, thank you. I'm really excited, especially with the question you asked about what's the one thing that you would take a stand for no matter what. And then hearing, I forget the woman's name, about self-acceptance. I'm like, boom, unapologetic self-acceptance and radical self-expression.
Oh, zing. I hear it. I hear the energy for you around it. Yeah. Beautiful,
so
right?
Excited.
That's the thing that you want to be known for, and that's the medicine. That is the crux of your message for your ideal client.
Okay, good, because I was confused the difference between the medicine and the results. But I think I got that. And then my ideal clients are truth seekers, way showers, light workers, holistic practitioners, artists, creatives, and entrepreneurs. And I know I'm all about, just like the other woman, I'm all about magic, rituals, circles, but I also have playfulness and wonderment that I love.
But I feel like that can fall under that crux, that one thing, the playfulness and the wonderment. That
okay.
One of the ways. And we'll get to that. What I'd say is when you talk about, like when you just listed off the different ideal clients, get for your messaging, this is important for you, for everyone, you want to get more specific because it's not all entrepreneurs. It's not all facilitators. Like, we want to get into their personality. Like, what are their deep desires? What are their fears? What are they like, right? So just like with Brooke, I was kind of like crafting based on what she's sharing. It's not all female academics. It's ones that are whip smart and ambitious.
Got
right.
It.
So you wanna, because again, your medicine isn't for everyone or even for every entrepreneur or practitioner. It's only for a particular one that's your ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna zing even more if you're talking to that person.
Okay.
Okay.
How do I gain clarity on that?
So you can journal on the following questions. What is my ideal client's personality like? What are my ideal client's deepest dreams and desires and hopes? What are my ideal client's obstacles, fears, and Achilles heels? And it'll start to present itself from the answers to those questions.
Okay, I have an idea. Yes.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. After I said I was going to take two more people that already had their hands raised, Connie and Kara, a whole bunch more people raised their hands. I'm going to take Kara, and then I'm going to continue on, and then I'm going to come back. I just want to make sure that I get through everything I want to get through on this call. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I talked to you a little bit about this, but I have this, I think my medicine is helping women get visible, and my methodology is using storytelling. So I came up with these two sentences: getting visible in your work is the path to your next business breakthrough. Telling your story is the fastest way to get visible. without playing small, hiding, or being inauthentic?
I feel like, and it, you know best, but yeah. I'm wanting the crux or the medicine to be this combination of, like, the visibility of the story. Invisibility in all ways. Like, that's the thing that's going to help you stand out. So many people are talking about visibility for entrepreneurs, right? But you've got this real unique, you know, thing of this inner and outer of their storytelling. And then it's like, yeah, does that land for you? Like, to me, that is the crux.
So it's not just visibility, it's like making your story visible.
Yeah, like not just to others, but to yourself. Like really, you know, it could be making your story visible to others and yourself, owning your story with yourself and other, you know, but that, to me, that is the crux. And then all the visibility strategies fall underneath that. All of the mining of the story falls underneath that. All of the owning of the story falls underneath that. Does that make sense?
So the thing that all that falls underneath is making a story visible to yourself and others.
I think so. I mean, how does that feel for you? It has to feel right for you.
No, it feels right. I think the language I'll have to work on, but the idea feels right.
Yeah. So, again, we're layering with language, but again, like to expand this for you, you know, for you it might go something like, if you are a sensitive might not be a word you use for your ideal client, but I'm just going to throw that in there for now. If you are a sensitive female entrepreneur who has gained so much wisdom from the experiences in your life, then what was the phrase we used about storytelling for yourself and others?
Making your story visible.
Then making your story visible to yourself and others is the crucial piece growing your business and your visibility. Does it feel like we're in the ballpark there?
Yes. Yeah, that feels great.
Awesome. All right. We've got a lot more hands raised. I want to get to you guys, but I want to just go a little further here because it might clarify some things. And I promise I'm going to get, even if we go over time, I will get to everybody's hands. I promise, promise. So we've already started to add in the next step here. I've been modeling it with some of the shares. Once you have your one thing, then you want to add in ideal clients and results, right, to get that statement. Again, I've said this 100 times, that statement that we're coming to is not, it's like your holy grail, but it's not that that exact statement is going to end up in every piece of your marketing. It's that that's the core idea of your marketing message, right? Sometimes that exact statement is going to end up. Sometimes it's going to be a subset of it. We're going to get to subsets in a moment. Sometimes it's going to be longer on the sales page, shorter in social media, right? But it's like everything is going to revolve around that. And it's a message, right? So what do I mean by saying, like, it's a message? It's a message that your ideal client wants to hear, or I should say needs to hear, right? So the message, the core message that Kara's ideal client needs to hear if she really wants to grow her business and her visibility is that she needs to, again, oh my God, I forgot the phrase again, but whatever it is about their story to herself and others, like, this is what she needs. That is the message. You need this. So I've been talking a lot about layering. I want to talk a little bit more about that because I think that's going to, like, clarify things and help things feel even juicier. So again, different, you're going to use the message in different ways depending on the format, the marketing avenue that the message is going in, whether it's going to look one way in a newsletter versus in on a sales page versus on social media, et cetera. So how do you layer? Well, I mean a couple of things by layering. First of all, your message is something that your people need to hear over and over and over and over and over again in like a million different ways until they really get it, until they really start investing in that message, right? So in other words, Kara's main job isn't to get people to invest in her services. That's actually a byproduct. Her main job is to get people invested in her message, that this owning your story for yourself and others is the most important thing that I need. And once her audience is invested in that message, then they're already more than halfway there to buying the product, right? So you want to keep on sharing the message in different ways, using different examples over and over and over again so that your audience invests in the medicine, in the crux, in the thing. That's what they want to be invested in, not in you, although that is a part of it for sure. For any business owner that's going to be on this call that's attracted to my work, like we are, you know, part of our message for sure, right? But it's not so much the investment in the offering. It's the investment in the medicine, in the message. Now, obviously, it would get really boring if you were just say that one statement over and over and over again. So we want to kind of create like a buildup of ideas that you can be using on social media, in newsletters, you know, different ways, you know, what you're writing on your sales page, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I want to give you a method for kind of mining this a bit more and pulling out the different ideas. And I call it the octopus method. And I didn't make this up, and I always like to give credit where credit is due, and I don't know whose original idea this was. One of my clients worked with someone whose name I don't know and kind of shared this idea with her, and I just thought it was brilliant, the copywriter, and I just started using it in my work. And it's amazing. So I'm just calling it the octopus method. So here's what I want you to do. Take a clean piece of paper and put it on its side so that it explaining the thing. So it's like shorter, but like in height, but longer in width. And we're going to almost create, like, this is going to look like an octopus, maybe, if you're a bad drawer. If you're bad at drawing, it's going to look like an octopus. So in the middle of the page, I want you to write down your one thing, your crux, your medicine. Write it down and circle it in the middle of the page. And then from that circle with your one thing in the middle, and even if you're not 100% clear on your one thing, you know, whatever you think it is, wherever you're getting closer to, you'll still be able to do this exercise. Put that in the middle. And then I want you to draw 8 lines, like an octopus's 8 arms. Draw 8 lines coming out of that circle. 8 lines. And what I want you to do next is at the end of each of those 8 lines, I want you to write down a tool or a topic that you teach about or speak about that is related to the body of the octopus, that is related to the theme. So in other words, you know, we were looking at this with Kara, if the owning of your story, or I forget, again, forget the phrasing, whatever it was for yourself and others, would be in the middle of the octopus, one of her octopus arms might be articulating your story. Another one of her octopus arms might be really embodying your story and having confidence, you know, like really owning and embodying the story. Another one of her octopus arms might be strategy, outer strategies for making the story visible. Another one of the octopus arms might be working through fears and doubts about publicizing the story. Another one of the arms might be integrating the story into talks and presentations, right? I don't know. I'm making all this up. But anyway, take a few minutes and work with that. What are your octopus arms? And you may not get to all the arms, you know, on this call. You can give that to you for homework, too. But hopefully this is getting you excited. Hopefully this is starting to activate ideas for you. And, of course, those arms are your newsletter articles, right? And each arm might have four newsletter articles in it, right? Those arms are your social media posts. Those arms are the things that you're going to be talking about in your enrollment conversation once somebody shares with you where they are now, where they want to be. You know, you'll share the octopus is like the core, but then if you want to paint a story more of how you're going to get them there, you're going to be sharing the octopus arms that relate to that particular client. When you give a preview presentation, you might choose to speak on one of those octopus arms or two or three of them, right, to preview an offering or your work, whatever it is. So hopefully that's something juicy for you to sink your teeth into and play with and get ideas from. And then I know there's lots of questions. I want to hear what's coming up. We can do more workshopping and just what you're really hearing and taking from this call. But just the last piece I want to mention for now on the message is testing. So I shared with you a bunch of stories last week on my messaging fails in the past, right? So, you know, first just to normalize it, right? I mean, like, we have to work at it. We have to see, you know, it gets tweaked. It changes over time. It's all good. Let's just take out any myth of perfection from this process completely. And one of the ways to really kind of get on the bullseye more and more is to test. And there's a lot of different ways to test. So I think on our call last week, somebody brought up the idea of a focus group. So that's one way. Informational interviews. I'm going to go through this stuff because, you know, we're not going to get into, like, lots of different marketing and all of that. But sometimes, you know, like, the best way to test, honestly, is to put something out as a preview, like a preview teleclass, and, you know, see if people get interested in that core idea that you're talking about. Another really great way to test is to start on, if you work in social media, if you're doing stuff in social media, like to start posting about your core idea or to post about the octopus arms. But again, always relate it back to the core idea. You never want to talk about any of your octopus arms without relating it you connecting it back to your to the medicine, to the crux, to the core message, right? But start playing with it and just see if you are getting, you know, people are responding and liking it, if it's creating conversations on social media. It'll show what you know, it'll show you how to shift things and what to do. All right, so we have 5 minutes left, but I'm good to go a little bit further if need be. I want to make sure I answer everybody's questions and help you workshop if you want to workshop. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lower everybody's hands, and then if your hand is raised and they haven't called on you, just re-raise it right now. So I'm just going to go ahead and lower, and then star two if you have any questions. And also just, you know, anything you want to add to this conversation, what you'd like to take. Paradis.
Hi. So the arm, you know, my confusion racket comes up. So when it comes to the arms, I just kind of went a little blank. Because I started to go into maybe my modalities. But I wasn't sure if that was, like, if that was appropriate. And also I was thinking maybe I should just read my medicine here.
Yeah, I want to hear that first. So what
okay, is that? Okay, so if you're ready to release the parts of you holding you back, to go within, to learn your potential, and connect to a higher knowing to help guide you and give you the life you want to have.
Wait, say that again? I'm sorry. I got lost.
It sounds like a lot now. Okay, so if you're ready to, and I kind of like rejigged it, so I'm reading it cautiously. If you're ready to release the parts of you that are holding you back and go within to learn your potential and connect to a higher knowing to help guide you and give you the life you want to have.
Okay, so this is really great. So answer me honestly. Do you think that your ideal client is laying awake at night and saying, if only I could release the parts of me, right, whatever those first three phases that you said, I can't even remember them now.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not what
she's
doing. She's not laying awake at night saying, if only I could have a higher connection, right? What is she saying? What does she really want when she's laying awake at night? What is it that she really wants for herself?
Well, lately it's been I have Lyme disease or I have been put on 5 different medications and I need to get off of them and I know there's something else going on.
Uh-huh.
So it's been that, or it's been like, or it's like, I really want to talk to my deceased father, or...
Yeah, so I think it'd be 2 different messages for, like, your mediumship clients versus these other clients, even if you end up using some mediumship with the other ones, right?
Okay.
So, like, for the first ones that you're describing, it sounds like the result that they really want is to feel like fully healthy and in their full well-being. Yeah? Yeah. So those first 3 things that you named, those are the ways that you get them to their health and their well-being.
Okay.
And I think each of those 3 things is an octopus arm. The thread that ties them all together is what's going to be the crux. Does that make sense?
Okay. So if you want to be fully healthy and in your well-being.
Right. So name the 3 things again, because I think those are 3 tools that you use.
They are, yeah. Going within to learn your potential, releasing parts of you holding you back, and connecting to a higher source.
Yeah. So each of those are going to be octopus arms.
Okay.
I think you have more, right? And one of the octopus arms can be the mediumship for sure, you know, which is a modality, but that's still okay. But what's the thread, Paradis, that ties all of those things together? What's at the core of those 3 things and the mediumship?
People usually come to me, it's like they need to amp up their spirituality. their practice.
Yeah, I think that that's right on, right? I think it's about amping up your spirituality and your spiritual connection.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
that's and I'll just tell you, I just looked out my window, and there's a hawk like literally sitting on my kid's playground. So I feel like we're speaking. Not to get too woo-woo, but I feel like we're speaking truth right now. Okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, amping. I think it's amping up your spirituality and your spiritual connection. Yeah?
Okay. And that's the center then?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I think you've already got four of your arms there.
Yeah, totally. And then the piece about the fully healthy and in the well-being, that can also go within the spirituality, right?
Yeah, well, I'd say that's the result, right? That's okay. Not really an arm. That's one of the results that they really want.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just so I'm clear, because, you know, the confusion thing gets, I get confused sometimes. So, all right. So in the center is going to be amping up your spirituality and spiritual connection.
Right. So your sentence would probably go something like, if you're someone who's experiencing chronic disease or chronic major obstacles in your life, amplifying your spirituality and spiritual connection is the number one key to your well-being.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that something that you feel like you really want to stand up for? That amplifies.
Yeah, I just had a client where, like, I mean, she saw Jesus in the room, and he told her before she was like on a 7-year show with Edie Falco, and she was just told that she can't go back to acting until she works with me to amp up her spirituality. Whoa, come on.
Love it. So awesome. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So play with all of that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys, I know that we're at time. If you need to go, if I'm going to get through a couple more hands raised. I do have a sick 4-year-old at home, and I need to take her to the doctor in a little bit, but I'm going to try to get as far as I can. If this workshopping, just listening in, is helping you, please stay on the line. Continue to listen. Let's see. I don't know who this is. 7131 are your last numbers of your phone.
Hi, Joanna. It's Tina.
Hi, Tina. Good to hear you.
How are you? Good to hear you, too. So I apologize. I got on the call a little bit late, but what I did or would love to go over is about my medicine. Mm-hmm. So my medicine tagline that's on my website is activate your spiritual potential, nourish your joy, and live a soul-inspired life. I don't know. Is that my medicine or is that a tagline? I mean,
that
I don't know.
That sounds like a tagline. The medicine might be in there. So did you do the homework questions?
Yeah, but I was really confused, to be very honest.
Okay, that's all right. What I said at the beginning of the call is if you're confused, you're just exactly where you need to be in the process. What is the, like, if there was a theme, even just the three things that you just said.
Sure.
If there was a theme, a thread running through all of those three things, like an umbrella over them, what would it be?
Okay. Let me close my eyes and tap in. I think the theme with all those three for me is to be divinely guided through your life. I would say is really to connect to your divine guidance and then reclaiming your inner light.
Mm-hmm. So I think reclaiming your inner light is part of connecting to your divine guidance.
Okay.
It feels like the crux, the medicine, the one thing, and what all of those three things can be octopus arms for. The inner light is this real connection. I'd say the connection and activation of your divine guidance.
Oh, I love that. Connection and activation of divine guidance. Beautiful.
Oh,
that's fantastic. Okay. And then would my the two words of like mine was self-love and inner wisdom. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with that.
No, I think those are tools for you. Like for someone else, self-love could be the crux. But honestly, for you, Tina, I feel like that's one of the octopus arms that falls under the divine guidance.
Ah,
and
got
help
it.
You get to the divine guidance. Does that land for you?
Yeah, because for me, the crux is the divine connection
activation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Good. I so appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. Victoria.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. I'm in process with changing my business. So this is still kind of, I wouldn't say murky because there's a lot of clarity coming through, but I'll just, I feel like I'm premature and hopping on the line and talking to you with it. But in another vein, no, there's enough clarity there. I think we can move through at least a little to mm-hmm. pivot me in the right direction. So anyway, my medicine is really about, and I'm trying to hone in on it. So I'm trying to look for the connections here, which there's a lot. So self-love, accessing your true self. So leading with your inner compass, your true self, your higher self, self-love, huge. Authentic leadership, authenticity in there, and acceptance. It's about self-expression, full self-expression, authentic self-expression. Confidence and courage, visibility, that kind of thing. So what I end up, if you really need like two, I mean, I can zero in, it's kind of like love and leadership, and authenticity.
Just taking it all in.
Yeah.
So for you, those are the most important things that like everything else kind of could fall under.
Mm-hmm.
If there was one theme there that, again, we're not eliminating any of the things that you're saying because those can all be octopus arms. But if there's a core mm-hmm. that's really holding it together for your ideal client, which one of those, if one, it might be something else, is the core that's holding, that's the umbrella over all of those things, or the core in the middle of it?
Well, I really, it keeps going back to self-love and accessing your true self. So, divine leadership, which is, the name of my business. So it's really about.
What does divine leadership mean to you?
Well, I'm revising it, but I will tell you that what's coming through is really truly leading through your inner compass, creating an authentic, or leading from an authentic space. So it's it's addressing all of your holistic needs and ensuring that your leadership is truly coming from your divinely led, true north, true self, not the programming and conditioning, not the people pleasing. This is all about you showing up in the world and birthing your gifts using a courageous,
I'm gonna stop you there because I got enough. So this might sound boring, but because you've gone there already, but it feels to me like divine leadership is the medicine, and all the things you're talking about fall underneath it. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Is that a message that you would go to bat for over and over and over again? That for your ideal client, divine leadership is what's absolutely vital. Nothing else matters. Until the divine leadership is in place?
Yes, because everything stems that way. The only thing that clouds that is like self-love. But isn't
that
part of it?
Isn't that part? Yeah, that's an octopus arm right there. Okay. Does that excite you if you were just like talking about divine leadership?
Yeah, and you know what it does is that really helps me see how all of these other pieces, like visibility, personal self-expression, personal and professional self-expression, confidence and courage and facing your fears and, you know, blasting through any obstacles. And I really see how that can come back to that.
Good.
You know? Awesome. And so the others don't have to be, the others can clearly just be the octopus blade. It's not distraction and not keeping me stuck from moving forward.
Good.
Awesome. Okay.
Yay. Okay. All right. I see one more hand up. I'm going to take it. And then anyone that has other questions, I'm gonna stop after Amelia. But if you have any other questions, just get in touch. Be, you know, in the Facebook group. If you're part of a Facebook group and when my groups are, whatever it is, you know, I'll help you be in touch. I'll take Amelia and then we'll wrap. Hey, Amelia.
Hello. I was getting stuck around. I always kind of get stuck here. Like, the ideal client and the results, because it's, like, different. But the medicine I'm kind of zeroing in on is activating awareness and deepening self-love.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, the self-love for you, to me, that is it right there.
Yeah.
And it's okay if the results are a little, right, like, it doesn't, not every client needs to have, like, the same result, but there's probably even a theme. If you look at all of the results that your ideal clients want, there's probably even a theme in there.
Yeah, the theme is, like, essentially, the client, like, she knows she's the bomb, right? Mm-hmm. But she keeps getting stuck in, like, these frustrating things, whether it's dating the wrong men or, like, not speaking up for herself. But, like, and she doesn't know why. She's, like, aware of it, but she doesn't know why. And that's really where I come in and help, like, move through that.
So, you know, just one thing on my mind, like, self-love, it could just be self-love. But because self-love is a little bit thrown around a lot, similar to what I was sharing with Jamie before, like empowerment, you know, is there an adjective that we could put before self-love that would just make this uniquely yours even more? Like what is the quality or kind of self-love? Or what's the adjective that we would add to the self-love that's really at the crux of your medicine?
I mean, the word radical comes up, but that's
radical.
Also kind of. I feel like a lot of people use that. Though.
Yes, I would agree. I was hearing the word courageous. That may not be it. Like courageous self-love.
Yeah, like the kind of words that come up to me are like outrageous and crazy and fabulous, like freaking in your face, F-U, unapologetic, edgy.
Unapologetic. Mm-hmm. I like in your face. In your face may be a little too in your face. Yeah. I like unapologetic. I also like courageous personally, but that may not land for you. But yeah, I think you're right there. Just get that adjective to just make it even more uniquely yours and like a little bit different from the pack, and I think you're good.
Yeah.
Does that feel good?
Yeah. And then I just had a quick question. So these arms, they're like, for example, an arm could be body awareness and integration with like in tuning in with you, and then essentially. And then an arm could be, like, setting healthy boundaries, which is like huge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, those are all, they all lead back to this outrageous self-love, you know, whatever it's going to be, the adjective before self-love. Yes, 100%. And do you feel like you can stand behind that and you want to talk about all of these things, you know, like, all the time? Like, this is the thing you want to be known for and be, great, so then that's what it is.
Yeah.
And are these like guides, these arms are like the guide poster to help us like, oh, I need to write a newsletter or I need to write a post.
Exactly.
And like,
exactly.
Okay. But it all
but
ties
always,
back.
But you always want to be talking about the self-love. If you're talking about boundaries, it's still, it has to connect back to self-love. If you're talking about body awareness, it still has to connect back to self-love.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Good. All right, everyone. So hopefully you all have some direction that you're feeling excited about that's lighting you up. It's okay if you're still not 100% clear. Like I said, this is a process, but I'm hoping that you've got some really good directions to go in. Let me know, not just questions or confusion, but also like if you're really loving what's coming through for you. I love to hear that too. So I'm just wishing all of you a wonderful rest of your day. Let this marinate over the new year. And I'll hopefully talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.